give you honor and glory and praise because you are mighty. You are the creator. You are good. You are loving. You are merciful. And now you have come through your Spirit and you indwell us and you've changed us and you've made us new. So God, as we open up your word and as we look at what you have to say to us about our deeds and our actions and how we can connect with you, Lord, help us to be obedient to what you've commanded. We are your servants. You are the master. We are happy to be there. We are joyful to be in your service. And I pray, Lord, that you would use us, God, to expand your kingdom. For your glory's sake, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So recently, I came across a meme that I thought was funny. Had to do with dads. Any of our dads of daughters, you may enjoy this one. Go ahead and put it up here. The guy up front, he looks tough. Says, "The woman who can command me hasn't been born yet." And then at the bottom, 4 years later, he's all dressed up. He's playing. Let me move this out of the way so you can see it. He's playing with his daughter there, dress up and the whole thing. And so any of our dads in there, if you've got daughters, you understand, right? This is what you do. There's no way I'd ever be caught wearing a dress or playing tea party or doing anything like that. But I've got two daughters, so I've done things that I had never thought I would do before because my daughters want me to do it, right? There's something about wearing the outfit. They enjoy that. That would not be something I would do on my own. But because it's doing something really important for my daughters, I'm okay for it. Yeah, so for any of you lucky guys in here that are going to get daughters one day, it's coming your way. Just get ready. It's going to be fun. I see some shaking of heads and laughter. You laugh now. That's going to be you, man. It's me. I never thought I would be there, but I am there. Why am I there? Because my daughter loves it. Because as I'm doing that, there's something more that's happening than just wearing a funny hat or drinking some tea. My daughter's connecting with me. See, when we do tangible things, when we do physical things, there's actually a relationship that can happen with that. And there can be, those actions can be filled with a spiritual side, a connection side. And the same is true with our actions and with God. We ache for transcendence. We want the mundane things in our lives to mean more than just the job that we do or the hobbies that we have or the chores that we have to accomplish. We want everything to matter. And through the gospel, Jesus has made all of our things matter. You may ask, what is the point of our work or in our chores and our hobbies and the activities that we do? Why do they matter? Well, the message for us today is they matter because Jesus can be found in them. When you do your actions, when you go to work, when you interact with your family, anything that you do, that potentially can connect you with God if you are properly aligned. He can use the simplest activity, and today we're going to see how. We just need to know where to look. How to find it. In this series, we've been going through how do we live with God? How do we abide with Christ? How do we take the things that we do on a regular basis and how do we find God in them? And one of the central texts that we have is John 15:5. We've said it over and over again, but it's really important. It's this image of the vine and the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Life with Jesus is our goal. Our goal is not just to gain as much stuff as we can get, or money, or fame, or status. Our goal is to have God live with us. That's what we care about. That's what we're after. That's where life is. That's where excitement is. That's where joy is. That's where significance is. Experiencing God and living with him daily has been our theme in this series. Now, the last 2 weeks, we specifically focused on how do we connect with God using our minds and our emotions. And we're going to see that these play into today's passage as well and where we've been talking about. So let's remind ourselves, when we're talking about our minds, we talked about sin, and we talked about how that was originally an archery term. And so anything that missed the mark, anything that missed the bullseye was considered sin. And so our thoughts are going to direct our behavior. They're going to direct where we go. And if we're off even a little bit, then we're going to start making us swivel and move and get off of what God has for us. Likewise, with our emotions, last week we talked about that. We said, like a wild stallion, we want to be able to tame the stallion, but we don't want to tame it so much that it can't operate. We want to have our emotions be under control, not running wild on us, but we also want to express our emotions, and God has called us to that, and to have strong emotions. And when we do those things, we connect with God, and He interacts with us. The vine and the branches analogy is in this middle of this really important dialogue. This is the last night of Jesus' life, and He's there with the disciples, minus Judas. Judas has gone to betray Him, but here He is with the disciples, and He's given them the biggest speech He can give them. He's given them everything that He wants to tell them right before He's about to go to the cross. And it's clear that in this whole conversation, He's including the mind, and He's including the emotions. Let me give you that first. John 14:6, here's where it starts out. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then a little after the vine and branches, John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Folks, He is the giver of truth and of proper emotion. He has them on His own. He is truth. He has emotions, and He is giving them to you as well. He is our source that we go to. Now, these elements are part of us connecting with Christ, but there's also another part as well that is very important and needs to be connected with our minds and emotions. As our thoughts and emotions need to align with Christ to properly connect with Him, so too do our actions. Our actions need to be properly aligned with Him. So let's look at that with our time today. As Christians, our aim is always to glorify God. That's our goal. That's what we're supposed to do. To declare and to show God's reign over us, His magnificence, the brilliance, His excellence, to give God glory. Now, how do we do that? We saw that a few weeks back in the same passage that we're talking about today. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. This is how God gets glory. We bear fruit, and that shows that we are His disciples. The next verse after that says this, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. We are invited, folks. In fact, we are commanded to abide in His love. How do you do that? The next verse tells us. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Guess what that means? It means obeying, doing tangible actions with our bodies, allows us to abide in God's love. When we use our body to be obedient to His commandments, we abide in His love. And it allows us to abide in His love because it is us giving Him love. When we are obedient, that is us loving God. It says so right here earlier in the passage, chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How do you love Jesus? You obey. Simple as that. That's what He wants from you. So, doing tangible deeds that bear fruit is what God is after. That's what He wants from us. And this makes sense, right? He doesn't just want us to think about him. He doesn't just want us to feel good about him. He wants our lives to give glory to him. This was the design forever. The design from the beginning was that Adam and Eve and all humans would be his image bearers, that God would be able to represent his character, his personality, who he is, and his will to the world through his people. So how does that get passed on? How would anybody else see that I have God living in me if it wasn't through my body? The things I say, the words that I speak, the ways that I go about, the actions I take, and the things that I don't do. These are the things that bring about God's glory being seen throughout everything. And this is what he wants. Now, verse 11 gets us back to the emotion side. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. There's a lot of people out there looking for joy. They look in a lot of different places. This is what Jesus says is the place that you can find joy. It's in obeying him. That's the true place to find joy. When we're obedient to him, we commune with him. We abide in his love. Is there anything better than abiding in his love? The love that sent him to the cross to die for us, to give us eternal life. There is nothing better than that, to abide in his love. And how do we do that? Through obedience. Now, notice that all three are present there, head, heart, and hands, in this whole passage that he's been talking about. He is the truth, so our mind needs to be activated. He gives us joy. That's the emotions. How do we get that? By obeying with our bodies, the lives that we live. Now, at this point, it may be wondered, hey, Jesus said you need to obey my commands, but Nigel said you need to use your body in tangible ways. Aren't there some spiritual commands that Jesus gives us? Why are you focusing on just the physical side? Well, for one reason, that's the topic of the sermon, so that's one reason. The other reason is, yes, there are some spiritual commands that we are to do, like believing in him, that's a spiritual thing that you do spiritually. But Jesus gives us a ton of commands that have to do with our bodies doing tangible things, physical things. So, this is part of what he is calling us to. This is part of what he wants. Yes, our spiritual side is primary. It's the origin. From that flows everything else. And if we don't have our spiritual side properly aligned, everything gets out of whack, and it really doesn't matter what we do. But if we do have our spirits aligned properly, the works flow from that. Works come after that. Our physical reaction and actions flow from where our spirits are. You guys remember this? We talked about this in James when we first sermon series I did here. James chapter 2, 26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Right? If your body gets disconnected from your spirit, it's dead. It's not operating. It's over. It's time for the grave. But if your faith isn't producing works, it's dead itself. The faith itself is dead. It has to flow into physical things. It has to flow into actions that you do. They're united, and they shouldn't be divided. We shouldn't be tearing them apart. This is a really, really important concept. Your spiritual side and your actions need to line up. And if they don't, you're probably doing something wrong, or you're different than what you think you are. So if you think you're spiritual, but your actions are saying something different, you need to take a real good look at your spiritual side, because maybe you're not exactly where you should be. And if you're doing the right works, but your spiritual side is off, well, great, but God's not getting any glory in that, and you're not connecting with him through that. God's design for us was always holistic. He wants all of us, all the parts of us, head, heart, and hand, to connect with him. Now, let me prove in a deeper way the connection that's there between the spiritual and the physical and how they're really interconnected. They are interlocked in Jesus' mind, in God's mind. So to do that, I'm going to highlight two famous passages that have to do with spiritual things, and then I'm going to tie them in and show scripturally how they're actually tied to you doing something physical. So, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Hit a pause button here real quick. This is incredible. We, the church, is being built up into a spiritual house. It's being compared to a temple, a place where God dwells. God dwells with believers. And right now, we get to offer spiritual sacrifices. In the Old Testament, they offered actual animals. They sacrificed them. Now we get to offer spiritual sacrifices. So that's fantastic. Okay, so this appears to be and is talking a lot about the spiritual reality and that we're doing spiritual things. But I want you to take note of two things. First, in 1 Peter, if you've been in our Sunday school class, you'll know this. 1 Peter talks a lot about doing these tangible actions, these deeds that you do with your body. It's over and over and over and over and over again. So why in this book, as he's talking about offering spiritual sacrifices, does he spend so much time caring about what we do with our actions? That's the first thing. The second thing here to notice is to look at Romans 12. We're going to see some very similar things in Romans chapter 12. We're going to see the spiritual sacrifice, right? Remember what we just read here. What did we just read? It said that we are offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Romans 12:1 says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Catch it? Sacrifice is in both of them. Spiritual is in both of them. So let's go to Romans 12. What is it saying? What is our spiritual act of worship? It is presenting our body as a living sacrifice. That's our spiritual act of worship. So what does that mean? What does it mean to offer our bodies a living sacrifice? Well, usually a sacrifice, you've killed it, right? So there's a difference there. We're still alive. Our lives then become, everything that we do becomes a sacrifice dedicated to God and his purposes and his commands. In other words, everything that I do should be offered over to God. The way that I love my spouse, the way that I love my kids, the way that I work, the way that I enjoy the hobbies that I do, all of the things that I do should be given over to God for his purposes, for his glory, and to commune with him. If I want to offer a spiritual sacrifice, it is connected to what I do with my life. Catch that? What your body does is actually spiritual. That's what this is getting at. Pause right there, because that's an important part of what we're talking about. What your body does matters, because it's actually spiritual. Wow. What you do, what you the when you give somebody an embrace, like you give them a hug, you're actually connecting with them. You're actually possibly connecting with God too. So if you want to connect with God and you're like, how do I do that? I wonder how I could connect with God. How could I experience him and how could I live with him? When you give over your actions to him, that's how it happens. Your body and what you do connects with him. Let's go to the second passage. Earlier in John chapter 4, verse 24. This is a popular one too. You probably have heard this one. He's talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and she's asking him, hey, where is proper worship happening? Is it in Jerusalem where you say it is, or is it where the Samaritans where we say it is? And he says this, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So again, it looks like we're just talking about something spiritual here. And yes, for sure, it's talking about the spiritual side. But we have to remember the connection back with Romans, right? How do you spiritually connect with God? By offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. But that's not all. Yes, this passage in chapter 4 talks about spiritual side, but this isn't an isolated passage that's separate from the rest of John. The whole book of John actually shows us that the way that you worship in spirit and in truth is by doing actions with your body. Let me back that up. Let me make a case for this. So the conversation that they're having here is over what's the proper way to worship? Where is it? Right? If you go back to the Old Testament, how did you worship in the Old Testament? We often think of worship as singing songs. That's like one piece of it. That's one part of what worship is. Worship in the Old Testament was you obeying the law. You obeying it, you being allied with it, and you doing exactly what it tells you to do. That was worship in the Old Testament. Now Jesus is coming and he's offering a new covenant. So now we've got a new set of things that we're supposed to do. And so worship then in the new covenant is obeying the commandments that are in the new covenant. So what is the commandment that Jesus gives us for this new covenant? John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So if you weren't tracking with me, let me bring you up to speed. To worship in the new covenant is to obey the commandment, which is to love one another. If you want to worship Jesus now, the way you do that is you love one another. Now, what does that look like? Is that a spiritual thing? Do we just love people spiritually? I love you with my heart. I love you on the inside, and that's how I love you. Is that what Jesus has in mind? Look at the very next verse that comes right after this. He's going to tell you exactly what it means to love somebody. Verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Folks, laying down your life, your body, your actual life, letting your body die for somebody else is the greatest form of love. Guess what? Is that only spiritual? No, it's very physical. It's very tangible. God designed us to have a body that matters. And so, if we want to worship Jesus and thereby unite with him and live with him and have him connect with us, we are supposed to give our bodies to obey the commandments that he has. Furthermore, what does John say love looks like? If you look at John and you look through the whole book, there's three examples that stand out above everything else of what love looks like. The first is the woman that anoints Jesus's feet with oil. And she's wiping his feet with her hair. Because she knows what's happening. I may be mixing up two stories. She may be just anointing his head with oil. I'd have to go back and look. But it's in chapter 12, I believe. The other one is Jesus washing the disciples' feet. He comes in and washes the disciples' feet, even Judas's feet. He washes the disciples. And the third, of course, is the cross. Guess what all three of those have in common? They're super physical. They're really, really tangible. There's a valuation of the body, right? The anointing of the head with oil, the washing your feet and cleansing the feet, the actual going on the cross with your body to die. That's the depiction that John gives us of what love is. So if we want to worship in spirit and in truth the way John is telling us, we need to obey the commandment, which is to love one another with our lives. Loving with our actions, in other words, is spiritual worship. Presenting our bodies as living sacrifices to the commands of the new covenant. Love one another. That is how we connect with God. We need to have a pure heart pure mind, but also pure hands that go and do what God wants us to do. So what does all of this mean? That's a whole lot of setup for this point here. Any obedience to Christ where you obey and you do something tangible that somebody else can interact with is a moment where you are connected with God. If you've done that in obedience to him, you've connected with him. So if you are doing something and you know God wants me to love that person in this way where they're going to experience it and they're going to feel it and they're going to know and recognize that I care for them, that is a moment where you are interacting with God. So it also means this: your body matters and your actions matter. Your tongue matters, folks. What you say really matters. It is a portal for which you can interact with God. James chapter 3:3-5. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. We could go on and on and on and on about passages where what you say matters, where what you say can be something good, a blessing that you give, an encouragement, the telling of the truth, saying what is important. What you say with your mouth, your tangible physical mouth, matters, and it can interact, it can cause you to connect with Christ. What you say is not flippant. It is not a nothing. A chance meeting. If you got a dinner invitation to have dinner with Jesus Christ, would you take it? I sure hope you would, right? You got a chance to sit down with him and talk with him. Well, guess what? This is what he's telling you. He can interact with you every time you obey him with your speech. It also means this: your eyes matter. What you look at and what you pay attention to matters. Job 31:1, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? What you are looking at matters. There are things that bring wickedness when you look at them. And you know what I'm talking about. On a number of different levels. But it's also, it could be who you're allowing to influence you. We've talked a lot about that. What media outlets are you letting influence you? Which ones are you paying attention to and focusing on? It matters what you listen to. It matters what you pay attention to. Another opportunity for you to connect with God as if you were having dinner with him. So what news outlets are you listening to? Which experts are you allowing to have focus on you? Which friends do you let tell you what you should believe and what you shouldn't do? That matters. Your sexuality matters. That's not flippant. It's not just, hey, whatever, I can do whatever I want. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 through 20. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Did you hear what he just said? You can glorify God in your body. And specifically with your sexuality, how you use your sexuality, that can glorify God. Or it can be a missed opportunity where you could have connected with him, but you chose to go with your flesh. Everything you do matters. Listen to Jesus' words here. We've gone over this in Matthew. This is such a powerful passage. He's gonna come to these people, and it's one of these judgment times in Matthew chapter 25, and you're going to see the good and the bad, right? And for this, he starts out, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Don't you want to hear that? Don't you want God to say that to you, that you are blessed of the Father? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This is what is offered to those that love God, that obey His commandments, that have faith in Him. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you? And they go through all these things. I don't remember seeing you naked. I don't remember when you were hungry or thirsty. I don't remember seeing that. And then this is what he says, verse 40. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. You did it to me. What you do with your body connects directly to Christ. They're not disconnected, folks. You don't get to go and just do random stuff and it's all random and nothing connects back to God. No, what you do with your body connects with God and has the chance to glorify Him. And it has the chance for you to love and abide with Him. All it takes is giving a glass of water to somebody that's thirsty, to clothing somebody that needs clothing, to tell the truth when somebody needs to hear the truth, to give an encouragement when someone needs an encouragement, to give a hug when somebody just needs to know that they're not alone. Every time that you do that in obedience to Christ, you are dwelling with Him. You have so many chances to connect with Jesus. You just need to know where you're looking. So let me say this. Is that commandment to love God and to love your neighbors at the forefront of your mind? Does that consume you? Does that take up your attention? Is that what you're thinking about all the time? Because it is, if it is, that's what's going to bring you into relationship with God so often. You're going to have connection with Him so often. You're going to dwell with Him and experience His love and His presence. But if you're focused on other things, think about other stuff. You're thinking about yourself. You're thinking about your job. You're thinking about your spouse. You're thinking about whatever. You're going to miss out. What we do matters. God has lavished His love upon us. And He wants us to lavish love on others. And when we do, He gets the glory. And He abides with us. And so what we're about to do now is we're going to go to communion. We have something special for everybody. If you weren't aware, we've got a potluck today. We've got some food that's ready to go. A bunch of people brought some food. And we're excited to share a meal together. And we've got an opportunity where Jesus can dwell with us. Where we can love one another and share a good meal with it. So if anybody wasn't aware, they didn't know a potluck was coming, come anyways. Please come. It's okay. We've got so much food, we're not going to be able to eat it anyway. So come on down. We'd love to have you join us for that. And we get to share some time together, to be with one another, to love one another deeply, the way Christ wants us to. Christ died on the cross to give us eternal life. And also, to make us His body now, where we do the things that He wants us to do. And what does He want us to do? He wants us to love one another. And so we're going to take communion, and then from there, we're going to sing a song to close us out, and then we're going to go into the fellowship hall, and we're going to practice what we just heard. We're going to spend a good time loving one another, tangibly, with what we say, how we interact, and how we love one another. So let me pray as we open into communion. Jesus, we thank You so much for the cross. Right now, we remember all that it did for us, God. We remember that it bought us life. It opened the way for the Spirit. It opened the way for us to be able to see the truth that You revealed. It cost You Your life, and now You call us to be the same, to love others the way that You have loved us. God, help us to see the great opportunity that is here right in front of us, to experience You through loving other people. Lord, so many times for me, it's easy for me to get caught up into just being focused on myself and what I'm getting out of a relationship or what I'm getting out of a conversation, whatever it may be, Lord, help us all, help me especially, to be focused on giving, on loving, on being sacrificial to you, Lord, because I want to interact with you. I think we're all tired of a life that is boring and mundane and has no significance to it. We find our significance, we find our importance in connection to you. And so God, please dwell with us now. Show us the transcendent ability to connect with you, Lord. Blow us away with your greatness and your love as we remember your cross and as we gather in your name. We pray this for your kingdom's sake. Amen.